Lakuta Sichas, Chelik Yud Gimel, Bolok, Sicha 1. Ala Pasuk Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael, in regards to the Pasuk that Bilam said, giving the Yidden a blessing, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, Yisrael. Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains, Matovu Alecha, what does that mean? How good are the tents? Al Shira, Pischeim, Sheinim Chuvonim, he saw that the doors of the tents are not opposite each other, meaning that you couldn't look from one tent into the other, expressing the union of tznius, of modesty. Mishkanei secha, your dwelling places, chaniyei secha, kitargumei, as the Targum explains it to mean, the places where you camp. Another interpretation of these of the words, Matovu Alecha, Matovu Oihel Shiloi. How good is the tent of Shiloi, meaning the Mishkan that was in Shiloi. Ubeis Elamim, and also the eternal Beis HaMikdash, meaning the Beis HaMikdash as it was built in Yerushalayim. How good are they, be Yeshuvam, when they are built? Shemakrivim behem karbonis l'kachaper aleichem, that they would bring karbonis there to bring atonement for the sins. And Mishkanei Secha, what does he mean by Mishkanei Secha? Af kishem charevim, even when after they are destroyed, they are also good. L'fi shehem mashkin aleichem, because they are, the word Mishkanei Secha here is like a mashkin, like a collateral. The churban and kaporal and having been destroyed, that brought atonement for the lives. Shenemer, as it says, kilo Hashem is chamosai, that Hashem expended His anger. Ubameh kilo, what did He expend it on? How did He get rid of His anger? How did He vent His anger? By yotzes eish betziyin, that He lit a fire to the Beis Hamikdash, basically. So therefore, He spared the lives and expressed His anger against the building. So that's what Rashi says. Tu pshatim min matovu alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael. Tzarech lavan, so we have to understand. Number one, the pirush she mishkanesecha haynu chaniyesecha. When Rashi says that the meaning of mishkanesecha means the places of camping, lama loy pirush mishkanesecha kipshutei loshen rabim shel mishkan. Why didn't he say Mishkan Esechot could mean also the Mishkans, the Mishkans. Why didn't, in multiple, in Lashon Rabbim, why didn't Rashi accept that that is the meaning of Mishkan Esechot? Or befrat shalem etzini bekro, Lashon Yochad echanoyes, Mishkan ki'im chaneseinu. We don't find in the Pasuk that the singular of Chaniyei Secha, of camping places, should be Mishkan, the word Mishkan. Rather, what is the singular of Chaniyei Secha is Chanois. So why did Rashi accept the Targum's explanation that Mishkanei Secha is the multiples of camping? Malot Beis, another question. Maloshna Kosov Muchach. From the words in the Torah, it seems that Matovu Nimshach Gam L'Mishkanei Secha Yisrael, that the words Matovu, they apply first to Oyhalecha Yaakov and then also to Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. Uki'ilu Nemar, as if it would have said Matovu Mishkanei Secha Yisrael, as if he would have repeated the words Matovu Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. L'chayre Ma, if that's the case, so then what did he find so endearing, so good about the way the Yidden camped? What was so special about the setup of the camps of the Yidden that he said, Matovu, how great they are? Gimel Yadua Haklal, but Pirush Rashi Alotera, we know the rule in Rashi. As has been mentioned a number of times, that when Rashi brings two explanations of the same idea, because each one of them has a certain difficulty that the other one doesn't. So therefore he brings two pshatim to answer both of those questions, the one that one has over the other. Umayim akush has been in the dam, so we have to understand what are the questions here that he needs to bring two pshatim. Talid, the pirush hasheni, matik oida pames hateva matoivu elecha. When he sets up the second pirush, he once again says matoivu elecha, even though that was the original quote from the pasuk. Ve'inayimik adarke b'kama mekaymes b'kitzer, dovaracher matoivu oihel shiloi. And he doesn't do it as he would normally do it, which is that when he wants to give a second pshat, he doesn't have to quote the words again. He just goes straight into what the second pshat is. Hey, moina shiloi ubeser lamin. He lists as what are the ayhalecha, the tents which are to be praised. He chooses shiloi and the beis hamikdash. Ve'ena masker ayol ma'id. He doesn't mention the current ayol ma'id, the one that the yidden were in at that time. Why did he skip the one which was in existence at that time when Bilam was saying these words, and he goes straight to Shiloi and Beis Elamim? Vav, Hatoiv Shabayil Shiloi or Beis Elamim. What is this good which is connected to Shiloi and the Beis Hamikdash? Mefarash Rashi Shemakrivim Bem Karbonis. Rashi says that what is so good about it that they bring Karbonis there. Why does he skip over the main good which can be found in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan? Al pi pshutus mikra al kaponim, at least on the simple level, which is kifim furish b'kra, as the pasuk clearly states, v'asu l'mikdash shachanti b'seicham, that the Yidden should make a mikdash so that I can dwell amongst them. So therefore, isn't that the main good which can be found in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan? Why does Rashi skip the fact that this is the place where Hashem dwells and goes for the fact that they bring karbonis there? Zayin, manegeil avonis pirush hakosav ayalecha shakarbonis heim lechaper aleichem. Why is it important that Rashi has to point out in order to explain the goodness of the tents that the karbonis that are brought there are to atone for sins? And that what is good about the fact, even when they are destroyed, that they also bring atonement for the souls. So why is that what makes it good? And on the other hand, imla avonis in the mishkan shemerubas bezechor bonai. If, in order to understand the word Mishkan, Mishkan Eisecha, which brings out the fact, which is alluding to the fact that it was eventually destroyed and that it's still good. So if, to understand that Nochatz Ladash, Achurim Kapara Lenefashis, it is important to understand that it's a Kapara for the soul, for the lives. Madua Leinisker Inyan Zebepirish Ashi Reish Parshas Pekudei. Why didn't Rashi bring this in Pekudei, right at the beginning of Pekudei, Shagam Shom Pirush Rashi HaMishkan HaMishkan? There too, Rashi says in explaining why the word Mishkan Mishkan appears twice, two words one after the other in the pasuk, and Rashi says Shnei Pa'amim. The word Mishkan is brought twice. Remez LeMikdash in his Mashkin B'Shnei Chorbanim. This is alludes to the Mikdash which was given as a Mishkan, as a Mashkin. Hashem took it as a collateral in the two times that he destroyed it, Alavenesem Shal Yisroel, for the sins of the Yidden. So, and over there he doesn't say that he bring in the fact that it's a kapara and so on. And so if it's important to understand that as a mashkin, the mishkan is a mashkin for that the Eivishter took, so why doesn't he bring there also this idea which he brings here, which is that it was an atonement? Why does he say it's a kapara for the nefashis, which is a very uncommon way of expressing that? Since we must say that there is some sort of a diyuk, mao araya me aposik kila Hashem es chamosida shachurbim Chorbanu kapara al nefashis. It seems that Rashi does want to make this an issue, that it's a kapara on the nefashis. But how does he bring a raya from the pasuk kila Hashem es chamosai that it's a kapara on the nefashis? Where does he see that from that pasuk which he uses to bring a raya? Beis. Habir b'cholzet. So to explain all of this. Ba'akdom elu matoivu. What is the introduction to the words that Bilam said matoivu? It says there, Vayisa Bilam eseinov. Bilam lifted up his eyes. Vayaris Yisrael sheichen l'shvatim. And he saw the Yidden dwelling, the shvatim of the Yidden dwelling together. Pirush Rashi. So Rashi explains there, shochein l'shvatav. What does he mean by that? Ra kol shevet v'shevet sheichen la'atzmai. He saw that each individual shevet was, they lived amongst themselves. They hung out with each other. Einam u'ravim, and they didn't mix, intermingle with the other shvatim. And then he also saw that the doors of the tents are not opposite each other, so that one person should not look into the other person's tent. So that's what Rashi says over there. How does he know that? What drives him to explain it this way? Pashtus loshu in hakosuv. What is the simple meaning of the pasuk? Vayar es Yisrael sheichen l'shvatav. Mashma shero chidush. From this, it seems what the Torah seems to be pointing out is that he saw something unique in the way the Yidden lived. Hanhagim yuchedus v'tayvav yaseh. He saw something unique and which was very good, a good way of living. Sharei re'iyazu garma, because when he saw that, that led him to say, that when he saw that, he was overcome by a spirit of Hashem, or Pirush Rashi. And as Rashi says, what does that mean? The spirit of Hashem that overcame him is what caused him not to put a curse on him, which he had been planning to do. But so that what led him to that? When he looked at the Yidden, he saw the way they lived, he saw something unbelievably special and unique, and that's why he was overcome with this spirit of generosity. And this came because he saw the way the Yidden were living as Shvatim. Therefore Rashi says, that what did he see that was so special that each one kept to themselves, each shevet kept to themselves, and they didn't intermingle. Which means that he realized that they were being very careful about the family lineages and background and so on. Because we know that each shevet was, how did anybody know who shevet he belongs to? It all went, as Rashi says, each one kept a record of which of the fathers and the family tree and how they belonged to the shevet. So they were meticulous about this. They had the witnesses, they had the written documents, and so on. Which means that they were very, very careful about snias, about keeping the right marriages and so on, and not to corrupt or compromise the yuchsin that was needed in order to be counted in a specific shevet. V'kivin shera Bilam mailazu, and when Bilam saw this great quality, how the great the tznius was, nispo b'yoseri, was very amazed by it. Atche olu b'libos v'kalam, which led him to not curse them. So that's what was unique. That's what it ra l'shvatav. He saw that they were careful with tznius. Aval afize arei hoya tzarach liyis kosov v'yaris Yisrael sheichel l'shvatim. Then if that was the meaning of it, then it should have said, he saw that they were camped according to tribes, in tribal groups. Not the mashma sheina shvatim u'ravim yachad, which means each shevet is kept separately. Why then does it say to his shvatim? What does that mean? This must mean that he saw something in addition to the fact that the shvatim were keeping to themselves. He saw something that is indicated by the word l'shvatov. That within each shevet also, Nikir Shezeu Shevet Yisrael, we see that even, never mind that each Shevet as it's distinct from all the other Shvatim, but even within each Shevet, that's what's expressed by L'Shvatav, there is also something unique and special, which is unique to the Yidden. Umefardesh Rashi, Shagam Rosh, Empischem Chavonim Zekeneged Zeh. So Rashi explains that. What does that mean? What did he see that was unique within the camp of each Shevet separately? That their tents were not opposite each other. The doors to the tents were not opposite each other, so that there would be an additional level of tznius. Obviously, this too was what made the impression on him that he shouldn't curse the Yidden. That's what he saw that was so unique. These two things. So therefore, umasim la'agdoma mevayir Rashi, hem shachaksuvim. In accordance with this introduction, explaining what it is that Bilam saw that led him to not curse, and rather say matayvu, that's how Rashi now explains the rest of the psukim. Shekeshebo Bilam achre kein ledabater al Yisrael. That now when Bilam was going to speak good words, complimentary words about the Yidden, who mefarish l'achare apsichan ne'om Bilam b'noi b'oir v'gluya nayim, after he says the introduction talking about himself and his, how special he is, Bilam is, he continues, hatam lome einem akalam, he starts with the reason why he is not going to curse them, mitzad beiz ha'maylas anal. He starts with these two qualities that he saw in them, which was what led him to give a bracha rather than a klala. And he says, "Matayvu alecha Yaakov, how goodly are the tents of Yidden, oifin sh'aimdim ha'oilim sh'bnei Yisrael, the way the Yidden situated their tents in relation to the other ones. And the second thing is, u'mishkan eisecha Yisrael, oifachan yisashvatin, the way the camps were set up. The camps of the Shvatim were set up in relation to each other. And therefore he said, how good are they? That on the simple meaning, this is not a blessing. He's not giving a bracha, rather, or he's not giving a prophecy, which was commonly what Bilam did. Either he gave prophecy, or he gave a klala, or a bracha. But ki'im bitush alispilus, here it's something else. He's saying, he's just expressing his amazement, minyanim tevim, having seen these great hanhagas, the way the Yidden behaved. Hanais and tamlam lameinu nukalim, and over here he says it because he's amazed about it, so therefore it leads him not to say bad words, v'adarab medabe b'shvacham v'mevarcham, rather he's going to speak about their qualities and therefore leads to a blessing. That's why Rashi says, how good are the tents, because the toivu elecha was because they weren't open again, opposite each other. Mishkan esecha chani esecha, v'loy karagul mishkan medira. And over here he says chani esecha, meaning the way the camps are situated, and not the normal meaning of the word mishkan, which means simply a place where you live, your home or whatever, your tent. Hamayla shniya, because he's talking about the second quality that he saw, that the shvatim were situated in special way, in a special way to keep them apart. And in accordance with what we explained before, v'chanu b'nei Yisrael ish al machneyu, what the pasuk says, that the Yidden, each one lived, and they all camped, they set up their camps, each one under their flag, each one under their camp, their together with their group, the kibush ein zeh pirush haragil, and since this is not the normal meaning of the word mishkan, to translate it as the b'chanu, chani esecha, ma'isif Rashi ra'i l'pirush ha'gitargumi, therefore Rashi says, you see this in the Targum, that in this case the word Mishkan Esecha is not meant to be your tent, but it means your camp situation, from the word v'chonu b'nei Yisrael, and that's what it means here. She'atargum mefarish kein bayis meishrecha she'zeo tirgum shel chaniya b'kam b'kamis. Where do we see in the Targum? The Targum also explains the word bayis as meishrecha, which is also the Targum of chaniya secha. So they share that word. In other words, that there is precedence for interpreting the word chaniya secha, mishkan secha, as chaniya secha, as we see from the Targum. Omnam, however, after this explanation, but this explanation leaves a few difficulties. Number one, nowhere else in the pasuk do we find that the word Mishkan is actually interpreted as the camp situation, even though the Targum shares two words, that bayis is meisharecha, which also can mean chaniyecha, chaniya, but the direct translation of Mishkan Esecha is nowhere else is it interpreted as chanoya. Beis, another question, another difficulty. Chanoyas hashvatim koilu v'gam klau v'gam koidim bizman. The way the camps were situated, Chaniyas HaShvatim, the camps, the way they were situated, is a general picture. The Gam Kaidim Bizman, and also, of course, preceded each tent, when each tent was put up. So first was Chaniyas HaShvatim. Then, and that is also a general picture of the camp. Then is Achakach Ba HaPrat. Then comes the details of how each tent was set up within that camp. If so, Bilam should have first addressed the Mishkan Esecha, which relates to the camp in general, and then he should have addressed the Oyalecha, which is, of course, the reason that Rashi, when he explains it, Rashi first talks about the Shvatim and the camps as they were separated, and only then, after that, he goes down to the detail of the tents within the camp not being opposite each other, the doors not being opposite each other. So therefore, it would seem that in the Pasuk also, Bilam should have first mentioned the camp in general, which is expressed by the words Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, and only then should he get to Matoivu Oyalecha. But in the Pasuk it's the opposite. So according to this pshat, it leaves that question, why the psukim are written in a way which seems contrary to the way it should be. Gimel, a third difficulty. Zeh shekol shevet v'shevet shoychen la'atzmi v'einamu ravim. This idea that the Shvatim were not mixed, intermingled, hu ha'inyan ha'ikri. That's the main thing. Sharei hu negele cheskas le'dasam shekol echad ve'echad. That is a major thing, which means that they kept their lineage pure. Pegodlo ma'alosi b'harbe l'hanoga b'oifin sheim p'schei mechavonim z'geneged zeh. And there's a much greater quality than the fact that, you know, one cannot see into the other's tent, which is a secondary thing in tznius. Keeping the right families marrying into each other, the right the groups and so on, that is a much bigger thing. Based on this, it should have also, the order should have been in that order, the most important quality, which is that the Shvatim kept their lineage pure by being separate. So therefore, Matoivu Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, the Pasuk should have said, for this reason too, Matoivu Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, and only after that, Oyalecha Yakud. Ki im eyeshem Matoivu koyal shneyem, that even since, or at least because Matoivu refers to both of them, b'chol zem istabek ki prat ha-samach la-Matoivu, what Toivu b'yeser, in addition to being first or second, there's another thing, the one that's written right after the word Matoivu. Of course, the Matoivu leaves a greater impression on that word, and therefore what should have followed the word Matoivu? The bigger Toivu, which is the Mishkan Esecha Yisrael. And only then should be one that's more removed, Ayalecha Yaakov, more removed from the word Matoivu. Dalet, a fourth difficulty. Al pize matoivu v'goymer ein baze inyan de nevuah. According to this pshat, the words matoivu elecha from Bilam had nothing to do with a prophecy. He wasn't prophesizing. Dim kein aval elamei mekodem akosum nun shemeya imri, that therefore, this should have been written before Bilam said about himself that he is a Navi, saying the words Na'um Shemei Imre Avshe B'Dach Kishlem Shereitzel L'Sayim E'inyan D'Ma'ay L'Satzmai. Even though one could say, so that the question is, Bilam first, after he saw the great, the way the Yidden were Sheichen L'Shvatov, so first he talks about himself as the words of the person of the great eyes and so on, and the one who listens, who is able to hear that which nobody else can hear. In other words, he's describing himself as a Navi also. Describing himself as a Navi before he's going to say something which is merely describing a quality. So the words of Nevius describing himself as a Navi should have said after he's finished praising the Yidden, when he's about to speak Nevius. So if there is no Nevius in the first Pasuk, then his description of himself as a Navi should have been after that, when he begins to prophesize. Although, the Rebbe says, it's possible to answer that he wanted to finish talking about himself, and then he gets to speaking about the Yidden. So that could be an answer, but a bit of a difficulty it is. L'chein maybe Rashi. Therefore, because of all these four difficulties, Rashi brings a second pshat, v'shagam koy b'nevuah la'asid, and also talks about, it describes a prophecy for the future. Not just talking about qualities, but that this pasuk too, matoivu elecha Yaakov, is not just singing the praises of the Yidden, but is talking about prophecies about the Yidden, which answers this immediately preceding question, that therefore this immediately goes into a prophecy. It also answers, yeah, we'll get to that later. Matoivu oyel shilo yabeselam yeshuvam. The Matoivu is talking about the oyel shiloi and the eventual Beis HaMikdash when they were built. Kimuvim bepashish yes baMikdash is toiv miyuchad. Because we understand that there is something uniquely special about them, about the Beis HaMikdash, Mekivin Shekosuv HaLoshen Oyel, and since he says the word Oyel, Oyelecha, Hadezameirusha Kavana LaOyel Shiloi, therefore, because he's describing it as an Oyel, so it can't be talking merely about the two Beis HaMikdashes in the future, but it must be also talking about an Oyel, an actual Oyel, which is Oyel Shiloi, which was a temporary building. Omnam arei kosov b'loshen rabim, but since it says b'loshen rabim in more than one oyel, mochach shekoyl oy davar shebetoichay, so he must be including something else in addition to oyel shiloi. What could that be? It has to be the mikdash v'udaim al oyel shiloi v'ayna beis olam, something that is similar to oyel shiloi, which is the next possibility is the beis hamikdash. Now, what's the Rebbe asked earlier, why didn't he mention the current Mishkan, which also would fit in with an oil? But that's already answered here, even though he doesn't say it clearly. It might be we might miss it, because he's talking prophecy. He wants to be talking about something in the future, not something current. Because we want to set it up as a nevuah, therefore he can't be talking about the current oil, because that's not nevuah. So therefore, Nevuah, the future, he talks about an oil shiloi, and then, since there is multiple buildings mentioned, it must be the Beis HaMikdash. And then Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. Gam Baze Hamachuban Le'el Shilei Beis Elavim. This is also referring to those two same buildings, the Beis Hamikdash and the Le'el. Elashan Nidan Hubizman Chorbanim. But also addressing them, but differently than Oyha Lecha. Mishkanei Secha means after they were destroyed. And therefore he describes them as Mishkanei Secha, because now they become collateral in the hands of Hashem, that he's taken them back to be given back when the Yidden do tshuva, when the Yidden deserve the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. So Mishkanei Secha in this case is Mashkin. Even though we understand, of course, what is good about the oil and the Beis Elamim, both when they were in existence and even after their destruction, because even in their destruction, Hashem holds them as a mashkin, in other words, that it's going to be returned, so therefore there is still good in it. As we explained before also, that this first pasuk is his explanation why he's not cursing them. Therefore, Rashi says, there's no reason to leave that approach behind. In the second shot, it's also the reason, in other words, it follows Sheichen L'Shvatov, and for some reason what he saw impressed him, and the words Matovu Alecha are the reason why he's going to be giving a blessing rather than a klala. So, Shehatov Sheneskaban Bilum Bamiris Inyan Zeh Hu Gam Tam Lomeinim Akalam, and that the good that he sees, Matovu Alecha, is the reason why he's going to give a blessing rather than a klala. Therefore Rashi adds, to understand what is good about this that leads him not to give a klala, that what he saw that was so good which would lead him not to give a klala was that they bring karbonis in these two batei mikdash, and also that even in their destruction they bring atonement for the lives of the Yidden. So what does this mean? Vabir, to explain what this means. What does it have to do with why he didn't give a klola? Ha'achana de bilam v'aschola de chol inyan zeh hoysa. This approach that Bilam, the words that describe how Bilam came to this point, and what led to it is that the pasuk says leholach kepam bepam lekras nachoshim. That usually what he did was he used his divinations, his powers of being able to get to understand and to know the future and Hashem's when he is accepting a klala or not and so on. But he didn't go in that approach this time. He wasn't going to use that. That didn't work. Pirush Rashi. So Rashi explains about that. Askir Avin Aseim. His new approach was, he's going to mention the sins of the Yidden. Va'klola alaskaras avaynoi tochel avinaseim tochel avinaseim tochel. That he's going to mention the sins of the Yidden, and the curse will be able to attach itself to those averis. So that was his new approach. Mention their averis, and therefore then you'll be successful in putting a curse. And therefore now, when he went off in a different direction, and rather than a curse, he said a bracha, muchrech hoya levayir, now he has to explain, why his new approach is not working. He now has to explain why it is that his new approach of mentioning sins, that's not working either. He still can't put a curse. And therefore, that's what explains what he was saying now. He's explaining why I'm mentioning sins and still the klala doesn't work. Why is that? Because they have a Beis HaMikdash. They have a Mishkan. They bring karbonis there. They can't. They get atonement for their sins. I can get a foothold. Even with their sins, it's not working. They get atonement. They get kaparos avinus through the karbonos. Aval adayin ein zeh maspik. But even this is not enough. Why? Aleph hareze rak bezman sh'beis hamikdash kayam. Because this would be true only when the beis hamikdash is kayam. Beis gam oz harei karbonos mechaber rak alo shegi be'isah koros. And even then, what do the karbonos atone for? Only shegig and isakaris, ayala mezid biser esa, or if somebody did something on purposefully, but it's a mitzvah esa, so then it also brings atonement. Lavim shainim, or there are different types of lavim which it does, which a karbon could bring kapara for. Avala mezid biserkaris, or mrs. bezdin, but if somebody is going to purposefully commit a sin which is a isakaris or Mrs. Bezdin, in a kabonis makaparin. For those Avedas, the kabonis do not bring kapara. So maybe the klola can attach itself to those sins which remain unatoned, unforgiven. So therefore Rashi adds that even those sins are atoned for eventually, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it brought atonement for the lives of the Yidden, in accordance with Rashi, how the Rashi described the words in the Pasuk, these people who sinned with their souls, that they became sinners within their souls, down to their souls, because they fought against the Eivishter, which is Tachlis Avshia, that's the ultimate rebellion that you could have. You can't have worse than fighting against the Eivishter. Kenya Shleimar, Shekabanasi Al Kabanam Laram, is Kapara Al Nafashes, and perhaps this is what Rashi is trying to allude to, that even those Nafshesim, such people that went to war against the Eivishter himself, which that's the worst kind of Aveda that you can do. Even those kind of nefashas are being atoned for. And it's also referring to the two psukim which say that there's one, on the one hand there is nefesh kisechta bishgoga, a nefesh that commits an inadvertent sin, that gets atonement through karbonis. And then there is the nefesh shetasa biyadrama, that if a person does it in a high-handed way, meaning to say bemezid, even that gets kapara. So what Rashi is saying is that Bilam realized that even the Beis HaMikdash after it's destroyed, the destruction itself brings kapara, and therefore nothing is left of their averus. There's nothing for me to hang my hat on. There is nothing left. Everything is atoned. That's how he explains why his new method is not working. Well, maybe Raya, and he brings Raya Sheva Churban Kapara Al Nefashos, that the Churban, how does Rashi know that the Churban is a Kapara on the souls of the Yidden? Shenemer, as it says, Kidla as Hashem is Chamosei. Hashem used up, he expended, it's completely gone. His anger is completely gone. Claim Shalidei Yotzes Eish Betzion, meaning to say that because the Eivishter's lit the fire and see him, meaning he burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. Churban Beis HaMikdash kol sachamas shlo gosh baruch hu, just completely used up all the anger that Hashem had. Shibaglalav in the same shlo Yisrael over the Averis of the Yidden. Harei shenizkapru leidei achurban kol avinus gam achicha muris. Therefore, clearly all the Averis are already forgiven through the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even the most serious ones, the shibaavar gamken, and even the past ones. Because if that's not true, that there are some Averis which are not forgiven, so then his anger still is there. It hasn't used up all the anger for those sins. So that pasuk proves that Hashem, that everything is forgiven through the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Bilam has nothing left with which to work. This explains why Rashi repeats the words Matovu Elecha before the second pshat. She efshe shetochol aklala, to bring out that these words matoivu elecha, they are what Bilam is using to explain why he can't do his curse. V'zeh machriach shatoiv shalo elecha mishkan secha u'bazeh shemakrivim bem karbonus l'chaper aleichem, that the matoivu, the toiv, is that the karbonus are being brought. V'gam shechorbonim kapara al nefashas, and also that the chorban is what brings a kapara. So Rashi is trying to reiterate that what is matoivu being mean over here. He has to say again that matoivu is the meaning. The meaning of matoivu is that there is going to be kapara, and therefore that explains why Bilam used that as an introduction to be able to explain why he is unable to put a curse on him, and rather he is going to give a bracha. V'apiza muvan gamkein. Now we understand, of course, why Rashi has no need to write this in Parsha Pekudei, where he talks about Mishkan, ki akosav sham bo rak l'ramiz l'beiz ha-mikdashes ki inyim fnei atzmai. Over there, the word that he said, the reason he says Mishkan twice is just to bring up that both Beis HaMikdash turned into a mashkin. V'ein egev sham l'farish b'mahi ma'alosam, but over there, this whole pshad of that it brings atonement and therefore Bilam said it doesn't fit over there. There's no reason to bring it over there. Mashen King Khan, Kanal, whereas over here, of course, there is a good reason to bring it. Hey, Aval Gam Lepidur Zeh Kosher. But this explanation also leaves some difficulties. Number one, Doichik Leimesh, Abes Yolomen Kavua, Yikarab Bekosa B'Shem Oyol Arai. It's a little difficult to say that Bilam is referring to a Beis Elamim, which means a big, massive structure, a building that lasted for 410 years, and then later for 420 years, that he refers to that as an oil. So that leaves a little bit of that's a little difficult. Number two, Nizbar Bebira Pirush Rashi Anal, Bereish Parsha Bekudei. Over there, it's explained in Bekudei, Shatam Loma Ein Rashi Mefarash Shom, Sha'mishkan Mishkan Koi al Mishkan Shilav al Beis HaMikdash. There is a mefarish over there that says that the reason over there, the Rebbe explains it in another sicha actually, that the reason that over there Rashi says HaMishkan HaMishkan is referring to the two Batei Mikdash and not to Mishkan Shiloi and the Beis HaMikdash. So he explains over there why. Ki'im al Beit HaMikdashes. The reason is v'shal Mishkan Shiloh le'yitachin alasha Mishkan Mashkan, because Mishkan Shiloh doesn't fit with the word, the teichen of what he's trying to explain here, that it says Mishkan Mishkan, that both of them were a Mashkan. That doesn't really fit to Mishkan Shiloh. Why? Because Mashkan u'davar hanitul mahaloive ba'efen arai v'zmani. What does a Mashkan mean? That when somebody lends somebody money, so therefore he wants to have some collateral, so he takes something which he's going to keep temporarily until the person repays the loan. And then, of course, he returns the collateral to the owner. That can only be said by the two Batei Mikdashes. The first Beis HaMikdash that Hashem took as a mashkin, he returned it as the second Beis HaMikdash. and then, of course, the second Beis HaMikdash will be returned as the third Beis HaMikdash. Ki av she'enim doimim zelazah b'chol prateyim, b'chol makim shavim meim b'ni gudosim me'ikri sh'shneyim bayis l'akadosh baruch hu. So even though the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was not returned in the same way as he took away the first Beis HaMikdash, because there were many things missing and so on, and the level of the second Beis HaMikdash did not rise to the level of the first Beis HaMikdash, but in very many ways they are very similar. They're both a permanent home for Hashem. So therefore that's a mashkin that was returned. But the Mishkan Shiloi to begin with was only a temporary place. So then now how is Mishkan Shiloh, which never, it sort of was never returned, because the first Beis HaMikdash was a completely different type of a Beis HaMikdash. So the word Mashkin doesn't really fit for Mishkan Shiloh. And that's why Rashi there uses the two Batei Mikdashes. So Lefi Zeh, Lepiter Zeh, Shem Mishkan Shiloh, Hayinu Eyalecha, Elikavishem Bechorbanon. So now, according to this pshat, that Mishkan Eisecha is referring to the Eyalecha as they are in their destroyed state, so therefore it must also include Mishkan Shiloh Mashenkim Bepashim Bekudishim Ibnei Akusha Anau Mefarshim Shakosuv Lekoyel Shiloh. Whereas in Parshat Bekudi, of course, over there he didn't want to use the Mishkan Shiloh because of the reason that was explained before, but over here it does include Mishkan Shiloh. I misstated that. Let's do it again. Mishkan Shiloh, since it is a Diras Arai to begin with, so why would Mishkan Eisecha be describing Mishkan Shiloh in its Churban when it was, to begin with, it was only meant to be temporary? So therefore that leaves a difficulty with this second pshat, that Mishkan Shiloh should be referred to as a Mashkin. It's not a Mashkin. It was only meant to be temporary to begin with. And therefore, that is a bit of a difficulty with this, another difficulty with the second pshat. And because of these two difficulties, therefore Rashi can't only use the second pshat, and he needs the first pshat. In fact, the first pshat is closer to the simple meaning of the pasuk. Therefore, it's the first one, Aikri, which always means, the first one always means the main pshat. Because the main difficulty of the first pshat that Rashi had was that it was out of order. Oyalecha should come after Mishkan Eisecha, since that's referring to the general camp and this is referring to the specific oyal and so on. So the order in the pasuk leaves a difficulty, but that can be answered even, as is often said, Sarez Hamikra V'Darsheyu, sometimes we say that, you know, you have to reverse the pasuk, and it should be, you know, you have to read it the other way around, which is something that's answered often. So that can be easily, it's an easier answer than the second shot. Whereas in the second shot, the difficulty is in the teichen, how do you call an oil? How do you call an oil? A building oil, and the question of shiloi. Why is that a mashkin? So these are more teichendike questions about the pshat itself, rather than the order in which it appears in the pasuk. And therefore, that's the second pshat, because it has more difficulties, and the first pshat is the ikir. Ha'irom epirush Rashi anal. What is the lesson from this Rashi? Metoichem pirushay nire goydel ha'inyan atznius. From Rashi's explanation, and the first explanation, is we see the great importance of tznius. Sh'av zeh she'em sh'ischei mechovonim zeh keneged zeh. That even this secondary detail, that the doors were not opposite each other, sh'luchora eina inyan ikir b'tznius, which is not as important a matter of tznius as the first one. Because it means, you know, not to be able to see into someone else's house, rather than not mixing in an inappropriate way. Even this smaller detail has the ability, the power, to be able to affect even Bilam HaRasha, that all of the column, that this led him not to proclaim a curse, and rather to even give them a bracha, kenecholim natoyu, as the bracha continues in the parsha. Inyan ikri, something very very essential, atche bekeiche lehapach eskola inyan bilte ratze min akotza lakotza, that it transforms the whole thing from a curse into a great bracha, and all the brachas that the Bilam eventually gave. V'adayin mokem lepiti ayetze, but The Yetzer Hara still has ways of expressing his agenda. He could say the following. When is this true? If this was a permanent thing, on a regular thing, it's always going on, so you have to be careful. But if it's, we're talking about something very temporary anyway, it's only a temporary situation, and therefore maybe there isn't as it's not as important to have to be so careful about these things on small little details and so on. And in the Ha'ara, the Rebbe writes, and it's for some reason it's printed in bold letters, not like regular Ha'aras which are written in smaller letters. Here it's in very big bold letters that he's talking about what goes on in the summer. These parshas are read in the summer, and in the summer people go to the country and to different places of vacation, and they say, well, no big deal, you know, it's only a temporary place. When I get back to normal life, I'll go back to my normal behavior, the better behavior. So therefore he says that's what he's talking about, that the temporary situation he means is vacation places. So gambaze hayra. So for this also comes the lesson from this parsha, from this Rashi. Rob hischem shenim chavam mulze. He saw this detail, small detail, also that they weren't, the doors were not aligned. Gambi yesim ba'olim, even when they were only in tents. A tent is only a temporary place to begin with. Ayalecha Yaakov, afilu ba'ol arai, even in a temporary tent. Nageya zehirus otznius kazu, was also important to have this kind of even secondary tznius. Well, the idach gisa, on the other hand, kshenis harim is that when a person is careful about that, even in a temporary situation, and even in the small details, hanhagi ba'efen shol matoivu elecha yakam ishkenesecha yisrael, that the behavior that a yid does is how good it behaves in a way that is described as good, azay ve'yahapach Hashem elekecha l'cha, then Hashem transforms the klolu l'bracha, k'pir shashi b'pasuk ha'samach, as Rashi says in the next pasuk, he intended the opposite. And then Hashem turned it around in his mouth, and he gave them a bracha. Ad la yud mishkan atay b'shleimus yazar kosh baruch es mashkin. Then until the prophecy that Hashem will return the mashkin, beis elam, meaning the eternal beis hamikdash, mashkin meira shgam be'es achorben areu kayam. And when you say a mashkin, as he said before, since a mashkin means that it's only temporary, that it's taken away, which means that even now, in its state, when it's in the hands of the loiva, of the lender, of the malva and the lender, it's also there. And therefore the Beis HaMikdash is also, as a mashkin, it's still there. Ukshadugmar HaKapara, and when the atonement will be finished, Yered B'Yizgalit will come down and be revealed. La'ad u'la'im yalamim, and this will be eternal and forever.